When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the deal with Santa Claus? Why does fruitcake get such a bad rap? And did Grandma really get run over by a reindeer? We'll answer all of these questions and more on this edition of Getting Schooled. I'm Abby Warnasek. Christmas is the absolute best. It's a season for whimsical magic and joy. But if you stop and take a look at some of the songs and holiday traditions that define the season, they can get pretty weird. Every year we listen to a song about Grandma getting killed by Santa's reindeer, and we get excited for an old rotund man dressed in red to break in our homes and eat all of our food. What is that all about? So what are some of the worst holiday songs of all time? What are some of the unusual Christmas traditions from all around the world? And why do we love them? Joining me now to talk all things Christmas is Fox News' honorary Christmas correspondent, which is a job I am so jealous of, and the host of Fox Across America on Fox News Radio, Jimmy Failla. And Jimmy was kind enough to join me now, even though he might be one of the busiest people in this building. What's going on, Jimmy?
You name it. And she's not wrong about that. You're not wrong about that, Abby. First of all, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas
and
all that stuff. I know I'm dressed like a Santa that didn't get rehired this year at the mall. Kind of smelled like Merlot when he was doing the sleigh riding thing. I'm not sure. Just,
you're the Yellowstone Santa. That exists.
Yo, I love that. Yeah. I don't live at the North Pole. I live at North Face.
Exactly. You know,
the ski jacket company. He lives
at
the North
Face. Watch out, Kevin Costner.
Is what he does. That's really, really, really funny.
Do you live in that home behind you with the American flag? Is that your house?
No, that is some of the fine, fine graphic design work of the media team here at Fox News. This is what adorns my radio studio when I'm doing Fox Across America, weekdays from noon to three on the East Coast, not to make it all about me or the show you can listen to on the Fox News app or Odyssey or Spotify.
You should listen to that. I appreciate a good shout out, a good plug.
There it is.
All right, so we're just talking. You said you love Christmas. I mean, you are an expert in all things Christmas. You are the guy to talk to.
Yep.
But I want to talk about all the weird things about Christmas. By the way, I wore this because I thought I was trying to go Christmas themed, and I left my Western shirt in my closet, unfortunately.
Well, hold on a second. Shots fired, Hornacek. I take a lot of charges from you. Let's just acknowledge this, okay?
But you always get back up, and that's a true story.
I know, but I came dressed as an ornament, you dig? I come dressed as an ornament that they were giving away at a garage sale. There's no use for it.
Jimmy, you are the ornament of Fox News because everyone likes to display you because you're on every single show, so you are the ornament. So it makes sense. It's a compliment.
All right, really quickly, let's just clear this up for the viewers, okay? I'm not booked on these shows. I'm just good at sneaking past security.
Of course.
And once you're in a live shot, they're not going to drag you off on live TV. That's why I'm on all the time. Let's make it clear. Let's not mislead these people. But you were saying something about Christmas.
I have seen you sneak onto set many times. It's truly impressive. But yeah, Christmas. So I think about Santa Claus. He's this very rotund man. And he delivers presents. He's also Saint Nick. I mean, who is Santa? Where does this all come from?
Well, here's the truth. Santa's popular in this day and age, obviously, because he has brought gifts to children over the years. But adults love them, too, because he's their only friend that's not on Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters, okay?
Yeah.
The fact that Santa's our last friend that hasn't given up cookies for Instagram, okay? That's why we love him. We'll put out some cookies because here's the truth. At our core, we all want to be fat like Santa, okay? Some of us can't, you know, health reasons, stuff like that. Maybe we work in different professions, okay? But who is Santa, save for the guy everybody wants to be, which is everybody's happier here. They're so happy They're giving you free cookies and milk. Yeah, you're giving their kids gifts. But yeah, that's what it is. Santa is the man. When we talk about like bipartisanship and how it's lacking in this day and age, kids who grow up in Democrat houses, kids who grow up in Republican houses love Santa because Santa's the guy. I mean, I would think the Democrats might
be president.
You would argue. I know the Democrats would vote because he's giving away stuff. So he's winning big in the states he needs. But I'm just trying not to make this political. But that's what Santa is. Santa is a symbol of feel-goodery. In a world where there's so many opportunities not to feel good, Santa has been a constant drumbeat over the years, a source of joy. And I think that is the testament to his enduring spirit, is that we need joy, and Christmas is a season for joy.
It is a season for joy. I have to tell you, I went to Santa Camp, which now it's my turn to plug. That will air on Fox Nation. But I went to Santa Camp and I learned about how all of these mall Santas, not all of them work in malls, but they are Santa's cousins and they learn how to be a better Santa Claus. And you just used the word feel-goodery. And I was like, you know what? I think I've heard that word before because it is the word of Santa Claus.
Really?
He makes you feel good. He's jolly. He's happy. They throw out dad jokes or Santa jokes in this case. And it's a great thing.
Oh, I love that. And But that's how we got here. If people want to know how we got here, okay?
Okay.
Everybody around the world wants to feel good, okay?
Except and then Jimmy, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was blown away because I agree. People around the world, they want to feel good. I picture this jolly Santa, of course. Santa looks different depending on where you are. Maybe if you're in Hawaii, he has a little Hawaiian shirt. I don't know. But I saw in Austria, they have this creepy Christmas guy named Krampus. And instead of naughty children getting cold, they believe this scary demon snatches up kids who've been bad. Did you hear this? Is this true?
All right. So let's jump right in. I can confirm that this is a thing. And it's one of the other values that Santa represents to adults is crowd control. You have the looming specter of Santa coming and not giving you presents because you were a bad kid. He knows when you've been naughty, knows when you've been nice. That whole thing, okay, is what we've used to enforce behavior in the household here in America for centuries. Krampus, on the other side of this thing, is that a little more aggressively. You know what I'm saying? Krampus is playing the game on old Madden, okay? Santa's Madden. You know, it's playable. He's going to give you presents if you're good. He's going to give you nothing if you're bad. Krampus is all Madden. It's a very scary matchup because everybody on the field does not have your best interest in mind. But if you're trying to scare the kids into behaving, is he not valuable, Abby Hornacek?
A lot of concussions.
Krampus. You growing up in a basketball family, Krampus is the Bobby Knight of Santas. A lot of tough love, but he's going to make you a better player at the end of the day.
That's a good way to describe it. I like that. Does Lincoln know Krampus?
He knows of Krampus. But Lincoln.
Do you enforce Krampus in your household, Jimmy?
We're not that bad. So Lincoln was always knocked out through the years by the elf on the shelf.
Okay.
The elf would report back to Santa. And Lincoln was more scared of the elf than Santa because, you know, the elf, you're a bad write-up away from ruining the whole barnyard jamboree. So we had a proxy Krampus. You dig? We had the elf who was our kind of enforcer.
By the way, people who are listening, Lincoln is Jimmy's son.
Yes, Lincoln is 15. We have one child. We decided to stop reading after the first report card.
All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services, marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
I was talking to my mom. They just visited my two nephews in Chicago, and she was saying one of my nephews, Frank, they were watching the old school Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the amazing one. It's like, is it claymation?
Yeah, no, it is.
It looks kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was so scared of the Abominable Snowman, and he didn't want to watch anymore. And I didn't think about that. Was there ever a character that you were afraid of growing up?
All right. So here's the thing. I really, as a kid, I really was scared in Frosty the Snowman of the man, the magician, who wants his hat back from Frosty. Give me that hat, I want it back. Because really? It was going to kill Frosty.
Of course.
As a little kid, obviously very pro-snowman. I loved Frosty. I loved the whole puts the hat on, happy birthday. And he, you know, leads them down through the streets of town, that whole thing on the parade. So I genuinely feared that man because he was, and I'm blessed for being able to say this, he was my first real exposure to someone who had bad motives. Mm. You know, I was lucky enough from the ages of 0 to 3 to know people who I thought were above board. I mean, looking back, oh, my family. No, I'm kidding. They're good people.
Well, now you walk to work through Times Square and someone's yelling, oh, give me that hat, but for different reasons.
Different animal now.
Exactly.
But I was scared of him. But since you brought up Rudolph, can I just give you a quick comment?
Yeah, unless you're scared of Rudolph, then we don't want to hear it because we love Rudolph.
I'm very pro Rudolph. In fact, I think the film is a must watch. Because it proves the importance of bullying in today's culture. You think about this, Ab. This matters.
Of course.
They bullied Rudolph, wouldn't let him join in any reindeer games. And he was like, I'll show you. I'm going to make the front of the sleigh. And he did. He found his confidence. He got his jump shot. And on Christmas Eve, with the game on the line, who'd they hand the ball to? Rudolph. Were it not for the bullying that motivated him to improve, Rudolph wanders off to the woods with that shiny red nose and becomes a really easy target for the people serving venison at Christmas dinner.
You can't offer him up like that, Jimmy.
No, I would never. I love Rudolph, and I'm glad he was bullied to the front of the sleigh.
Yeah, he's the guy in high school who didn't make the basketball team, and then everyone made fun of him for it, so he hit the gym every single day while everyone else was just goofing around. Now he's leading the team.
That true story. It's like Michael Jordan, you know, the story about maybe he didn't make varsity. And that's Rudolph. He made varsity. And now he, too, has a gambling problem. A lot of people don't tell you that.
And tried the baseball game as well.
Quit Santa those two Christmases. He was playing minor league baseball. No,
he's like, I'm going to come back down. I'm just going to throw out a few pitches for a sec. I will say, we keep saying he and Jimmy. I learned at Santa camp that male reindeer shed their antlers during the winter. So Rudolph was actually a woman. They were all ladies. Lady deer.
I if that is true, that's a first to me. But maybe that squares. I mean, we had a female mayor here in Manhattan, Rudolph Giuliani. You're telling me, kid, he had no antlers?
You never know.
I love this. I love this so much. Continue, please.
So I have to ask you too, because I love talking about traditions, and my family has a bit of a German background, and I think it comes from German roots. Mm-hmm. But we had the pickle in the tree. Can you explain? Mm-hmm. Do you do that, or can you explain to people what that is?
Well, we are on our side half Polish and half Sicilian.
Okay,
that's a true story. Actually, I have an uncle who put out a hit on himself.
That makes sense.
I'm kidding. Stick with me. We have a lot of traditions. That is not one of them. You're going to wind up explaining that to me. But a lot of the traditions we have revolve around what we do serve on Christmas Eve, when we eat on Christmas Day, when the presents get opened, we can get into it. But when you said the pickle, is that an ornament, or is that they hang it on the tree for some type of good luck?
Well, you go to a deli in New York and then you get the pickle.
Let me get a half sour. Explain it to me.
It's an ornament, and you hide the pickle in the tree. Whoever, I mean, we'd all help decorate the tree, but then at the end, my parents go and they hide the pickle somewhere in the tree. So after Christmas, when you're taking off the ornaments, the first one to find the pickle gets a special something. Maybe it's a ride on Rudolph's back. TBD this year. But
now, stick with me. Does the pickle, when do you take down your tree?
That really depends, but I feel like we do it about the 27th, 28th.
Oh, okay. You guys done. Christmas is over. We're not going to overtime.
Well, we start super early. We're like after Halloween type of
thing. I remember you telling me this once. You basically live in a CVS.
Exactly. Yes.
You're taking down the tree on Christmas Day practically so you can get out the Valentine's Day decorations.
No, sometimes we let it go to New Year's. It depends. Okay.
All right. You guys are efficient. I get it.
Depends on how rotten the pickle is at that point.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, that's why I needed to know, because it sounded like it could be a concern in terms of the quality of the pickle.
Yeah.
But I do like that, because that's essentially another thing of what Christmas is about, which is like, you know, it's a family thing. Camaraderie.
Yeah.
It's bonding. It is those traditions that make you feel homey. I think what makes Christmas so magical, Ab, is nostalgia. That's why I think Christmas movies endure.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the movies that are marathon movies, like Christmas Story or It's a Wonderful Life or, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, those are things you watched in other eras of your life that bring you back to like a time of more innocence. And that's 100%. What Christmas, and that's what it's ultimately about on a religious level, is the innocence of a child. So I think for Christmas, that's why so much of it does center around family.
Right. I love that you said that. It's a perfect way to describe it, and bringing people together and the relationships that you have. It's nostalgic because of the movies, but also because of the songs. Mm-hmm. We have so many. You could hear a Christmas song and it immediately takes you to that moment. And yep. I want to ask you, though, because I was shopping with my parents the other day and I walked into the store and what's the song? Or she's like, Last Christmas.
Last Christmas I gave you my heart.
And then the very next day you gave it away. It's such a peppy song, but you're like, wow, that's kind of sad. And then my mind went to the song Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I'm like, whoa, this is so violent. So
exactly.
What? Uh-huh. Describe to me why some of these Christmas songs, in your opinion, go a dark turn.
Well, this is exactly why. Christmas is the number one, December is the number one breakup month of the year. It's December is breakup season.
Are you pulling my leg?
No, we did a segment on this.
You don't want to get them Christmas gifts or what?
We did. There's a multitude of reasons. We did a segment on this when I was recently hosting Fox News Saturday night. And we did a segment on this where we went out and talked to Americans about this survey on the streets of New York about how December is breakup month for two reasons. One is what you said. Some people want to save money on a present. The other is they're on the fence about the person and they feel like staying with them for a holiday will give the relationship more meaning than it really has. So they're kind of being proactive.
But you don't have to celebrate if you're a new relationship. Sorry. If you're a new relationship, you don't have to celebrate you just say, hey, I'm going to go home to my family. You go home to yours and we'll get together later.
But the fact remains, the reason a lot of people do get dumped in December, and that's why there is this whole culture of Christmas breakup songs. Elvis, I'll Have a Blue Christmas Without You. You know, it's there because there is a subset of people every year that aren't having a Merry Christmas. They got dumped.
What about Grandma? What did she do?
Those are adult Christmas songs. Well, here's the thing. People don't understand. Grandma wanted to get run over because she was a Knicks fan. And it was like, so many years. What was it? 73 was the last championship. Okay. Grandma's not having it. And now with DraftKings involved, grandma's out money.
Grandma owes some bucks.
Her last words to that reindeer were thank you. They were thank you. But no, I think a lot of these downtrodden Christmas songs, because there are people that are down in the dumps around the holidays. But you're right to say it's a bummer because there's so many, like, I mean, at its core, the most positive Christmas song we play is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah.
She's got an empty stocking. She don't got the dude. She wants the dude.
Kinda, though.
But she did it right, Abby, because she sang an offbeat song.
Soon.
Hey, girl. But the point is, positive energy is what Mariah is using to get that person she wants. Okay. And positive energy is what Christmas is all about. Positive energy is what we're all about. We're only employed.
Yeah.
Okay, me, obviously, for my looks. But, you know, we're only employed.
And
okay?
Your shirts.
There's that. Okay. But we are positive energy people. And Fox has the good sense to recognize that in this world, you need emotional ports in the storm.
Yeah, I love that. It's great. I love working with everyone because it is true. I feel so much positivity. Some people hate going into work, but I feel so uplifted. And I'm not just saying that because this is being recorded. I truly mean it.
This is being recorded? No, I'm kidding.
Well, I don't know. Did we hit the red button, guys? I don't really know.
I'm just gonna go ahead and resign.
I just did this because I wanted to hang out with you, Jimmy.
I know how this works.
We'll never tell you. But speaking of upbeat, I got to ask you about the worst Christmas song, maybe your favorite, and then maybe the worst one, because there's that chipmunk song where there's that is upbeat for sure, but it wears on you after a while.
Yeah, especially because you got to realize, in order to get three chipmunks to sing on cue, there was some animal abuse involved. So it's like, even if you like the song, it's not coming from a healthy place. I kid. But that is a song to me, because I love the Chipmunks as a little kid, that still gives me nostalgia, even though it's terrible. Okay, I argue the two worst Christmas songs. Do you know the Christmas rapping song? It's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Yes, I have heard that.
It's just so dumb. But it's endured because this is the deal, okay? There were Christmas songs that cracked the rotation. Like, before you were born, before I was born, like the 70s, once you make the rotation, you're never out. Okay, when you think about a song like Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer, when you crack the mainstream rotation, you're just there now.
You're in it.
We only get, like, that truly crack the essential Christmas list. If you get one song this year that'll be played 3 years from now, that's a miracle. So a lot of songs cracked during, they were playing in weak divisions. Like, say, in 76.
And there was nothing else. And they're like,
that song won. It won. It beat out, like, the Christmas shoes. They're like, we don't want to hear the sad kid song, so we'll give it to da-da-da-da. And now it's in the rotation. And it wins.
It's a good point. I have to ask you, I feel like that kind of happened to me with Parks, which airs on Fox Nation. But people always tell me that it plays in the elevators in the building. And I see it too in the elevator. So are you saying that I came in and that's why? That's why people had it in the elevator. I cracked it. And people are like, we're so sick of this. We don't want to see it in the elevator anymore.
If I've got to see one more bond yield from Fox Business in an elevator, it's got to be something else.
People are like, how was it swimming with the dolphins? I'm like, huh? And then I realized that was 4 years ago and it's still playing in the elevator. I love it. All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this. I have to also ask you about food and desserts, fruitcake. Have you had it?
Oh, we can talk fruitcake.
Why does it get such a bad rap?
Well, because it's a hate crime, okay?
Against who?
Against
everyone?
The recipient. Against mankind. I mean, the truth is, you know, fruit. There's no one alive that likes fruitcake. Mm. Like, it's back to the song thing. Once things cracked the rotation, they kind of didn't go away. And centuries ago, when fruitcake was probably considered a delicacy because we didn't have palates that could compare it to anything decent, it cracked the rotation. And became as much about the gesture as it was about the actual treat. And fruitcake has kind of become the ugly sweater of the dessert table. Mm. Okay, it's just associated with Christmas, so it shows up. But deep down, it's not necessary. It's just part of that tradition now. And I think that's where fruitcake has managed to survive, is that the truth is, if you like fruitcake, you don't have to worry about it going bad because it was never good.
That's and you know that no one else will eat it, so you have the whole thing to yourself.
It's all you, baby.
Is it worse getting fruitcake in your stocking or coal?
Well, no, as far as the nutritional value, the coal is better for you.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's the thing about fruitcake, by the way. It has like 77 cups of sugar, but it's somehow bitter. I'm like, how is this bitter?
It's magical. It's a magical food, Jimmy.
I lost a molar unwrapping this.
Something else that has always bothered me is that in Christmas movies where Santa is real, but the parents don't believe in him, but then it turns out at the end, they're like, oh, he's real, whatever. How do they explain to their kids if they don't believe in Santa, but Santa's obviously real? What are they telling their kids that Santa's, how do the presents getting delivered?
Well, that's the thing. You got a lot of parents out there that don't think it through. Like, they're not self-aware about the message they're sending to their kids. Because the one thing you need to do with your kids, whether you're disciplining them, whether you're educating them, okay, whether you're enlightening them religiously, is you need to be consistent in your messaging. Those parents are, in fact, guilty of bad messaging. In those Christmas movies, Thank You, Santa has the power to correct them. Mm-hmm. And he kind of bails them out. It's like, you know, when the ref swallows the whistle.
Yeah.
Santa swallows the whistle on some bad parenting. They ultimately get away with one. But in the end, it's a win for the kids. So you can forgive the parents. All we want to know is that it turns out okay for the kids. Christmas is about the kids. Okay. And that's what I attribute it to. I attribute the parents to being, you know, they say inconsistency is the hallmark of a bad team. Mm-hmm. And if you are an inconsistent messenger as a parent, that's the hallmark of bad parenting. Thankfully, we have Santa to save the day.
Santa's just the best, isn't he?
He's our guy.
Back to being president, I think we've got a good candidate in him.
Well, the thing about Santa is, okay, most of his supporters aren't old enough to vote. He'd run away with this thing. He would run away with this thing. If we lower the voting age, Santa does multiple terms.
There you go. And he's got all of his elves that are going to run things for him anyway, probably.
Thank you. Except, yeah, that's the fair story. Like, you're not wrong here, Adam.
Yeah. Jimmy, last question I got for you. You had mentioned some things that the Fela household does. What is your favorite Christmas tradition?
Ooh, here we go. Okay. Christmas Eve. Okay. And this goes back to when my grandma was still alive. We celebrated at her house. In the Polish tradition, it's the only actual day of the year, because I'm not like ethnic Polish. You know what I mean? So I don't speak it. I don't traffic in it all year long. But on Christmas Eve, they always made this meal of Polish pierogies, which I loved. Ooh, it's like a ravioli or a dumpling for all intents and purposes with either cheese or meat or vegetable in it. And they made a fried fish, just a flounder, not even fancy. And it was basically like raviolis and a flounder. And there was Christmas music blasting. They were frying it in a pan, grease as far as the eye could see. Like, people were getting black lung on the way to the dinner. And I've never felt more alive as a child than I did in my grandma's house on Christmas Eve, because Santa was coming. And as a kid, that is the magic. And I can, that to this day, one of the most vivid memories of my life is walking down the steps of my grandma's house on Christmas Eve, knowing I was going home to go to bed and Santa was coming, and checking that night sky like I was an FAA, like, flight deck guy.
Use NORAD.
Looking. I knew that. See, I thought I was going to spot the sleigh hard.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful. And so going forward, obviously, we don't celebrate at my grandma's house anymore. She's no longer with us, which is a reminder to pay your debts to the bookie.
Yeah.
But no, my God,
getting run over by a reindeer.
God, stop it. Yeah, he ran her down. But the point is, we still have that meal on Christmas Eve. Mm. And it's an awesome thing to be a part of, because back to the nostalgia of childhood, you don't have the meal and not tie the conversation into every single time you've ever had it and who was with you and who might not be with you anymore. So I love the power of Christmas to tie eras in your life together. That's my favorite thing.
That's beautiful. Who makes the pierogies now?
So the same chefs, my mom and my aunt Fran, rock them out. My grandma's contribution to this is she would fry the fish and she would blast either the polka music or the Christmas music, but she was also simultaneously like the maestro when it comes to kids. Like, she was the assignment desk. You guys go over there, do this. You guys are going to do that. And it was rad. It was just awesome. And as a kid, I was so blessed to have been prioritized as a child when it came to Christmas. And my message to anybody watching is, you know, we've done this from every end of the spectrum. You know, Christmas is a time of joy and your kids don't know your adversities. You know, you don't need to be rich to give your kids a phenomenal Christmas. You need to give them a good time. Put on the song you like, you know, make something fun, get them some kind of a present. It doesn't have to be crazy. You don't have to compete with the neighbors. You just have to teach them to have fun, because that's what Christmas is all about. And yeah. If you nail fun, Ab, as you know, we're all in the fun business. Whatever it says on your business card, the actual point of being alive is to have fun.
Amen.
So if you spend Christmas having fun, you teach family how to have fun, and that becomes your Christmas tradition, you have paid it forward for the rest of your life.
It's the memories. My mom always says it's the best gift you can give someone is memories and your time.
Yep.
And
yep.
For you with your grandma, she tied together the eras, the generations to come, with the smell of her cooking and her her spirit.
Yep.
And that spirit is living on. So thank you, Jimmy. I love that. Now I'm craving a pierogi.
There it is, Abby.
I'm coming
well,
over.
To eat, You're allowed to eat them. I was told by wardrobe I can't have them this year. But next year.
Can't pop a button off that shirt. That's why I wore a sweater, so I can eat whatever I want. No one sees.
Well played.
Jimmy, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Enjoy. And hopefully you'll come on again soon, because it's always so much fun.
This was epic. Next time I was told you're going to turn my mic on and everything.
All right, if you missed anything from class, these are my office hours, and here is a top takeaway about weird holiday traditions. Jimmy came on to talk to me about all things weird Christmas, and he has a book out called The Cancel Culture Dictionary, which also talks about some weird things, so be sure to go pick one of those up soon and have a very Merry Christmas in whatever way you celebrate. I love to hear about all of it. For more podcasts, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this one on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen, and leave us a review. This is Beginning School with Abby Hornacek on the Fox News Podcast Network. Class dismissed. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.